This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, whether it's a trip or a well-deserved vacation, there's something that will make your experience memorable. For example, if you were on a Delta flight from Minneapolis to Toronto yesterday, the thing you'll probably remember is how your flight burst into flames and landed upside down. That was the case yesterday at Pearson Airport in Toronto. Now, in spite of the dramatics, everyone survived. But at least the flight took off. A flight out of New Haven, Connecticut, it was delayed after a passenger just tried to engage other passengers in small talk. And just a suggestion, when making small talk with strangers on a plane, maybe don't talk about bombs being in your bag or plane crashes that have happened recently, because it turns out they'll remove you from the flight. Some other suggestions. If a volcano is actively spewing lava and ash, don't run towards it. But tourists in Italy, they're not heeding our advice. So rescue crews, they've been busy at Mount Etna rescuing people who thought it'd be a good idea to climb the mountain as it is erupting. You can do the math on that. But the award for singular genius, that goes to a shot of the day honoree from last week. Canadian woman visiting the Caribbean, splashing around an ocean when she spots a bull shark. Now, instead of getting out of the water, she realized, hey, man, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get a selfie with it. So she reached out to the shark to pull it into the photo, and then it bit both of her hands off. Apparently, the shark was a little camera shy. That said, quite the memory. She's absolutely going to remember that every time she looks at her little nubs. But that's what we're talking about today. You've been somewhere, whether you wanted to go or not. Could have been Disney World. It could have been a work trip. But something happened somewhere at some point that, good or bad, you're always going to remember. And that's what our question is today. Today, we want to know, what is the one story you'll always remember about your travels?
Be a part of the big show. Call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook. Follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@KISW.com.
Today's question, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Home Patrols, away we go. Welcome to season 20, episode number 4263. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, the exciting return of Sit and Spin. If you listen to Friday's program, you know that our own Veggie Dog turned 50 years old yesterday and celebrated with a tray of baked vegetables. But either way, 50 years old, that is a big deal. You start getting stuff in the mail from AARP, kind of makes you realize how much time has gone by, how old you are. So today, we have 10 rock albums that turn 50 years old this year.
All right.
50 years, a lot of bands you know, a lot of bands you love. So here's what we're going to do. Mike, you have the list of the 10 songs. We are going to play those songs. Steve, you and I, our goal is to see if we can guess the correct album of said artist.
All right.
Because we grew up with a lot of this stuff, even though it was a little bit before our time. Still played on the radio. But we have to guess the album. Ted, since you weren't around,
all right,
it's your job just to see if you can identify the artist.
The artist.
The artist.
So, what are the chances I'll know him?
I think good.
Probably heard them all. I would say you get at least 50%.
Yeah. And if you get all the right. Artist right, then we'll try to guess the name of the album.
Yeah,
that came out. But 50 years old, we go back. And 50 years ago, in 1975, if you look at the music charts and what was being played on the radio, it was a hodgepodge of everything. You know, the number one album in the country that year was Love Will Keep Us Together from Captain and Tennille. You had everyone from Glenn Campbell to Frankie Valli, Earth, Wind, and Fire, John Denver, Carl Douglas with Kung Fu Fighting.
So that's the guy that does Kung Fu Fighting.
Exactly.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Boogie on Reggae Woman from Stevie Wonder, Ted.
I don't know that I would have known that was Stevie Wonder.
Fight the Power from the Isley Brothers. But there is a hodgepodge on
Isley Brothers.
Yeah. Isley Brothers. There's a whole bunch of different...
Not Public Enemy, no.
A whole bunch of different genres represented 50 years ago that were popular back in the day. But today, we're going to go straight rock with 10 rock albums that turned 50 years old coming up for you at 4:30. And our question today, we're going to talk about travel a little bit and the one story you always remember about your travels. Obviously, when you travel, there are things that you hope will happen. There are things that you would never expect would happen. And we'll talk about both of those today. Now, if you were checking out the media yesterday, you saw the just absolutely mind-blowing footage of the Delta aircraft that crashed at Toronto International Airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like, first of all, that they were landing in Anchorage. I mean, snow was everywhere.
Snow, ice, all that.
Wind was blowing 40 miles an hour. The plane comes in. It looks like it's doing just fine. I'm not sure what happened when it hit the ground. But basically, it looked like the wheels collapsed on the thing. It caught in flames and then somehow managed, after a wing broke, to roll over on its back.
Yeah.
So hopefully at this point in time, everybody is buckled in like they should be. If you've ever wondered why you need to wear your seatbelt when they say so, check out that video. Because shockingly enough, every single person on that plane made it out.
Yeah.
Now, 18 of those people were injured, but there were some positive updates. They said the first three people were maybe suffering from critical injuries, including a child. Those three people were taken to the hospital, and they were reported to be in good condition.
All right, good.
The airplane was designed to take a hit like this, according to one aviation analyst. It was a Bombardier CRJ-900, and its tail is designed to break off if the plane flips. So they basically said, hey, keep your seatbelt fastened. Here we go. It's not clear what caused the plane to overturn. The area was experiencing strong winds. They had snow on the ground. Passengers reported what it was like on board the plane, from which fire then erupted. It was mass chaos.
Did the fire erupt before it flipped? Because
I
looked
at
the video. Is that when it... Because I thought it burst into flames, then rolled over.
Could have been.
It did. Could have been. Watching it right now.
Yep. So it burst into flames,
then
rolled
over. The back of it burst into flames, and then it rolls over.
They said it was just a surreal feeling, being hung upside down, and then basically have to drop yourself on your head onto the roof of the airplane. But miraculously enough, everyone made it out okay. So
that's kind of hurt, too.
That is a miracle.
Yeah.
That is a miracle. So if you saw the footage, you just, geez, a whiz. How did anyone make it out of there alive?
You feel better about the plane, though?
I mean, yeah.
It burst into flames, flipped over, and everybody still survived.
And the guy says, hey, you know, the tail's specifically designed to break off if it flips upside down. Although part of me was like, you should also design the flame not to flip over, the plane to flip over. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just me.
Yep. Now we head to, where do we go now? I believe this is Indonesia. An unsuspecting man got a not-so-sweet surprise when he was bitten by a crocodile that had been rescued, and the terrifying encounter was caught on camera. This one will also make you go, Jesus, man.
Why would you stand that close to a crocodile?
The gentleman was a tourist, and a couple other tourists were checking out the, quote, lucky crocodile at Indonesia's Dairyland. It was reportedly saved from a flood last week. So basically what happened was...
How did you save a crocodile from a flood?
Because the flood went into a town, and you don't want that big of a crocodile hanging around downtown when you got a flood going on.
So they didn't really save the crocodile, they were saving people. The crocodile's just fine. It's water.
He was going for food. He was in the flood, but the croc ignores the man's food offering. Suddenly just chomps down on his arm and yanks him into the water and does one of those death rolls.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's why you don't stand as close to it as that guy did.
And you cannot believe how fast this crocodile yanks him back in and spins this guy. The footage, as they say, according to TMZ, straight out of everyone's worst nightmare. The poor grandpa was tossed around the water like a rag doll, and onlookers were screaming in panic. Miraculously, they somehow pulled this guy out of the water. And video later shows firefighters rushing him to the hospital with a severely injured arm. They revealed this croc was spotted near a landfill, and it laid eggs on the land near homes. So if there's a female, you know there's a male lurking nearby.
Mm-hmm.
So they're warning officials in that area to stay alert, because daddy's in the area. They still haven't figured out where that guy is.
So we got the one, but just know there's another one. This is a big, big-ass crocodile.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the thing, it's a dinosaur. And it takes this guy, and within not even a half a second, it has got him yanked into the pool with him and underwater. I mean, it happens that fast.
But the dude is literally standing a foot away from this thing, maybe, kind of leaning in, staring, looking at the face of it. Like, man, that don't stand there.
No.
And that's why. That is why you do not stand there.
That's one of the reasons, even as I was a kid, I was freaked out going to the circus. Because they did bring in elephants back then.
Right.
And when these elephants come in, you know, there were floor seats. And our whole school went to a matinee. And so most of the kids were on the floor around the ring, the way that this armory was kind of designed. And it was inside. And we were all sitting on the floor. And there were people sitting in the bleachers. But to be down there and watch them walk these animals in.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're really just 15 feet away with no barrier. Was one of the freakiest things that I remember from growing up.
Yeah, because you don't know the mood of the elephant. Years ago in Hawaii, an elephant burst out of the circus. So the footage they had was from outside. So you just see this door blow open. Here comes this elephant, and it's charging through the parking lot. And I always remember this dude closed a chain link fence and was trying to lock it. Well, the elephant, as you would imagine, I mean, runs right through that thing. And this guy, he just disappears off screen. I think he ended up being okay. But I'm like, you're not going to lock a chain link.
No.
But they eventually had to shoot the thing because it was just running down the middle of traffic, just smashing cars and doing whatever the hell an angry elephant wants to do, which you determine is pretty much any damn thing it wants.
Yep.
Right. Who's going to stop it?
Well, remember when Roy Horn was attacked by his tiger, right? what was that, maybe 2004, 2000?
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah.
Siegfried and Roy, they've been doing this show for God knows how long. They always had the Tigers. They did their thing. But I'd always thought that, like you're saying with your school, you know, watching these elephants walk in for a circus. I'm like, I never wanted to go to that show. I always heard about it, and apparently they were great performers. I'm like, but he has two big-ass white tigers out there. Like you said, if you're sitting in the floor seats, it's right there. And it's a tiger. And then when it attacked him, I just thought everyone in the audience has to be crapping their pants right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, when you went down to Vegas, is the Mirage still there? Have they started tearing that thing down?
It was still there from the last time that I was there, which is, I guess it would be in November. But there's a whole lot of, yeah, this thing's coming down around okay. it.
Because those tigers, last time I was in that area, they were still being housed there.
Yeah, the big glass.
And I think they might have put in like an aquarium type thing, but either way, the tigers were still there at the time because you could walk in and
they were big. They were big.
I mean, the first time I went to Vegas, that was a thing, right? Like we went over to the Mirage because they had a Studio 54.
Okay,
we couldn't get in there, but it was still cool just to go in because those tigers were just in like glass cages, mm-hmm. like the zoo, but in that casino.
Yep.
So that was a thing. We just were like, cool.
But the idea of those guys being 10 feet away from you, if you got front row seats to see the show.
That's what I'm saying. So when it attacks Roy Horn, you got to think, like, the tiger doesn't like him. And now I'm just sitting there, and I don't know the proper response with a tiger, right? So, like, when an elephant's charging, everyone's going to get up and run. And yes, I know it can outrun me, but a tiger, I'm like, it's not like you lay down and play dead, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to outrun it. You're not going to outfight it. So did you scream or grab a human shield?
I mean, I think honestly, if that thing had turned on the audience, I think people it just would have been panic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. My question. I'm saying, I don't know. I would have turned and screamed.
What is the one story that you will always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room. What in the hell is that?
Yeah.
Hold on. Is this like a kid song or something?
That's what it feels like.
Hello, Adam.
Yo.
Oh, hi.
Hola.
Hola.
Sorry to bother you.
You aren't bothering me one bit. How's it going?
Doing well, sir. Hey, one quick question for you. What is that music playing in the background?
That is something that I made up.
Oh, you're bringing the comedy.
Oh, are you talking about this little hamster guy here?
It sounded like a little kid song or something.
Yep.
Okay.
You're actively working on that. Okay.
All right. So what do you remember about your travels there, Adam? What a way to start today.
Yeah. Hey, I was, if you want, you can get a live demonstration of this craziness, but.
All
right. We're done with that.
Colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker.
I knew it.
Mother. And
I knew it.
Please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
Ain't nobody got time for your mess, Adam.
Well, I mean, I'll give you guys a special performance. You want to hear it?
Yeah. Why would you bring that up? No. Look, man. Look, I don't know you. Maybe it's great. Nobody wanted to see that. Nobody wants a live performance of that. I can promise you.
I don't think people understand how many listeners of this show are prolific in making music.
Oh, yeah.
We get emails, I'd say, every other day from a couple dudes that just write songs.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They're going, this guy's making music with sounds like chipmunks.
I'm
going
to say, so far, he's the worst of them. It's just based on
a small sample size,
I'm saying he's
the missing fourth chipmunk.
Right? I kind of wanted to hear some of that chipmunk
Congratulations,
stuff.
You made the list.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. Hey, listening via the Odyssey app.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
There
you
go.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was, I'll try to make this as fast as I possibly can. It's a little bit of a long story. So going to a Grateful Dead show in, I believe it was middle 2000s. And actually, it was the Dead show, not the Grateful Dead. And it was over at the Gorge. We grabbed a friend of ours' niece that came up from the East Coast who followed the Dead over to the West Coast, and we were in charge of her for the entire weekend. We were only supposed to see one night over at the Gorge. We saw the one night. However, we were going to go camping the rest of the weekend. So me and my buddy, on our way there, we ended up having a bus fire. He had a 78 Volkswagen bus. and it caught fire at the gas pumps. And then put that out after that got put out. Went to the show, had great fun. The next morning, we wanted to have more fun, so we decided to find a bunch of riders with some gas to go down to Vionetta, down at the, what is that, the Eugene County Fairgrounds down in Oregon, and spent the night down across from the Willamette River, and woke up to a bunch of naked joggers on the day of the show, pull into the parking lot. My buddy gets a miracle ticket with some dude that hops out of this school bus, traded his shirt for the ticket. Sucker pissed me off. And so I'm stuck in the parking lot, and our friend Laura, she was nowhere to be found at this point. So we're down at Vionetta, okay? And I'm sitting outside of the show, and I didn't know, but the further bus was down there, or not, further bus was inside the show. My buddy's sitting in the actual driver's seat, smoking a bowl, and all of a sudden you got Chuck Berry singing White Rabbit on stage with, you know, the surviving members of the Dead. And I'm outside trying to listen as best as I could, trying to kill some time. I ended up trading a pair of socks, get this, for some acid.
For a pair of socks?
A little bit of time. A pair of socks, dude. I can't make this stuff up either. It was fun as hell. But anyway, so yeah, I did. I traded a pair of socks with some acid, and finally the show got over. And so all of a sudden, my buddy Tracy, he comes out, and we're kind of like hanging out, waiting in the bus, trying to wait for Laura. Well, she was over on Shakedown Street. We went up and down Shakedown Street probably a good 4 or 5 times because we had to leave by a certain time. Now, mind you, I was out in the parking lot trying to get gas money our way home from Eugene, and I only made like 20 some odd 30 bucks slinging a couple t-shirts, and needless to say, we made it all the way up to Lake Stevens from Eugene. Halfway up the driveway, that's when our bus ran out of gas.
Oh wow.
Hey, yeah, it was made at home.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, that sounds like par for the course from anyone I know that's ever gone on a Grateful Dead adventure.
It really does.
Oh, except for the fact you didn't make grilled cheese. I mean, that's the only thing that you missed out on.
I just can't believe you lost somebody on Shakedown Street. That never happens.
You gave socks for acid. Like, how cool are your socks for me to part with my drugs?
I think it's more of if you've been following the Dead around.
Yeah.
You've been wearing the same Birkenstocks or being shoot. Like, you'd be shocked.
Okay, yeah.
Like, a couple years, like 1 year at Burning Man, I just bought a bunch of extra ankle socks and would just give them out as gifts. And people were so thankful.
I can believe
by
that.
By the end of the week. So I'd imagine you've been traveling around following Dead or the Fish. You probably, a pair of clean new socks probably felt like heaven.
What is one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
This is the Mighty 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
I say gone are the days of running away from an erupting volcano. In Italy, tourists are flocking to Mount Etna, which began spewing on February the 11th. Now, this has created, as they say, an extremely dangerous situation at the base of the volcano. And Sicily's head of regional civil protection describes a wild scene with cars crowding the narrowed roads, bringing traffic, believe it or not, to a standstill and leaving rescue vehicles unable to pass and get to where people need to be rescued.
You mean at the active volcano?
That's correct. He adds that the very day trippers creating the problem could find themselves in need of rescue due to the risks of falls and people sinking into the snow. Over the weekend, thousands of people hiked up the volcano to get the best views of the eruption. They ignored all of the directive to stay at least 1,600 feet from the lava. Media outlets even aired footage of daredevils skiing at the spot where lava meets snow. It exposes them to serious risks as the lava interacting with snow can instantly vaporize, and the thermal energy released may violently hurl fragments or rocks. Now, as of Monday, yesterday, lava flows were advancing from the volcano's southeast crater, though no immediate threat to inhabited areas are foreseen in the future. Now, the fire brigade was called in on Monday when 6 adults and 2 minors who were there traveling got lost on the mountain. They were found hours later. Others had been reported missing over the preceding days. One man fell and broke his foot. There have also been numerous diverted flights in and out of the airports at the base of Mount Etna, which is Europe's tallest and most active volcano.
Yeah, don't go there.
Our question, what is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chrissy. Welcome to the men's room.
Blackjack and hookers, bitches.
Hola.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey. Happy Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. So my story is kind of a two-parter. So my old man and I decided to take a trip down the 101. And the first step.
What's happening today?
I don't know. She's fired up. I mean, you got to tell us the story so we can laugh, too.
Yeah, exactly. What's the funny part on Highway 1? I've driven a lot of that.
So the first part on Highway 101 is...
Oh, my God.
I know. It's too much. So we stop at this hotel, and we're really, really high. And there's this couple that's... staying in the room next to us, and while we're laughing our ass off watching Bill dance videos, they like start packing their stuff and they left because we were laughing so hard. But then when we got down to San Francisco, my favorite part of this whole trip is that we get down to San Francisco and my buddies. His friend, he booked us a room or whatever, and we get down there and we look at the room and it's like, we roll into the room and he's like, oh no, oh no. And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh no. And he's like, my old man's like, this cannot be possibly the hotel. It was a hotel that was under renovations and the whole thing is like torn apart, like scaffolding all over it and stuff like that. Oh, great.
Okay. All right. Well, good times.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And is something weird going on
yeah,
today?
Yeah, we have a full moon?
I don't know.
I thought the full moon was like last week.
It definitely was last week.
Okay. So I'm not going crazy.
No,
okay.
No. You're not.
Maybe it's just delayed effect.
Yeah.
She certainly liked the story.
It's always weird when the stone Grateful Dead guy tells the best story.
So far. Yeah.
See, so basically, hers was just, we were traveling, we booked a hotel room that was under construction.
Yeah, that's what I got.
And 101 is very funny. Have you ever taken a drive down it?
You know what, I haven't. I've always wanted to.
Ted, it's hysterical.
Have any of you actually driven down it?
Yeah.
I rode down it as a kid, as my parents tell the story. They were very excited. My brother and I guess we were like 7 and 12, somewhere in that area. And they were very excited. My parents were like, hey, it's scenic. Man, they're looking out of the water. This can be great for the kid. They're always going to remember this. They said about an hour into the trip, my mother's like, your father's ready to open the back door and push both of you guys out. You didn't care. Your brother kept reading the knock-knock jokes. And I said, you bought him a knock-knock joke book. Like, that's parenting fail 101. You guys figured that out. You didn't care. You're bitching. Are we there yet? All that. It's like, it's supposed to be a scenic drive. And we realize when it comes to children, scenic means nothing. You're either at a location or you're stuck in the car. And they're like, it doesn't. You could be driving in the jungle. Look at the elephants. They want to get out of the car.
No, you got to tell your kids to look up. You could have the most beautiful.
But they don't care.
You got to remind them.
Hey, look up. Check this out. What? Oh, okay.
We drove our kids through New Mexico, man. And just the terrain there, it's like nothing here. It is absolutely gorgeous. And we're like, guys, look at this. And they're like, it's a desert. We're like, yeah, I know. But like, you're in it, man. Take it in. And they're like, it's brown. Like, come on. You have no appreciation for this. Zero.
Well, I've heard the 101 is like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But my cousin did it. And he was like, man, it's kind of sketchy at some point.
It is. I'm telling you. I've been all the way from the top, all the way down to the border of California and Oregon. So that's as far as I've gone so far. But I'm telling you, man.
All right. They drove all the way up from Monterey.
Oh, so they did a lot of there's more scenic stuff once you get south as well. No disrespect to the Oregon coast. Just apparently south of there, it starts getting like a little more windy, a little more scenic, a little more crazy as far as the drive, paying attention.
Exactly. Because it was like on their honeymoon, he was like, we're going to take this great drive. Yeah. Like, we're going to come up, you know, drive up to Washington, see you. And he's like, oh, my wife loved it. He was like, but there was parts I was, yeah, he said he was like white knuckling.
Yeah,
and
you
like,
are.
Like, damn, this is kind of sketchy.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so here's my story. So when COVID hit, I was living in L.A. at the time, and I was paying about $3,000 to rent a room. It was pretty ridiculous, so I wasn't going to stay there and do nothing. I happened to have a big SUV, and so I put a bed in the back and a beat-up old Honda motorcycle on the tailgate, right?
All right.
All right, so I used that to travel from L.A. up to Seattle and then all the way across to New York and back.
Damn.
Again. Probably four times. And I visited every city along the way, you know, from Denver to Chicago to, you know, all the way to Portland, Maine was the first time I saw the Atlantic Ocean. But, all right, here's the most memorable part was I didn't know how to ride this motorcycle that I had bought.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And so I wanted to find somewhere I wouldn't make a fool out of myself. And so I went to Death Valley.
Jeez.
Yeah, man.
To not make a fool out of yourself. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I learned how to shift and how to clutch and how to ride a motorcycle was under the stars in Death Valley in the middle of COVID.
How long did it take you to figure it all out to the point that you were comfortable riding it?
By the time I had gotten to New York, I was ready for New York traffic. But here's the thing. Here's the other most memorable part of this story was by the time I got to New York, it was empty. It was 2021. January, they had just dropped the ball, and so Fifth Avenue is arguably the most crowded street in America. They just started doing congestion taxes on it.
Yeah.
It's that crazy, right? So by the time I got there, I was riding a motorcycle down a deserted Fifth Avenue with nothing but green lights as far as the eye could see.
How bad? You are one of the few people that will ever say that.
Yeah, man, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like, remember that movie Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise where he wakes up having the dream and he's in Times Square?
Yeah.
And there's no one there?
Felt like that?
It was like that, only, you know, the entire island of Manhattan.
All right, let me ask you this. What was the most boring part of that drive?
Let me say, all right, so you guys remember the movie Field of Dreams?
Yeah.
All right, so Dyersville, Iowa has...
I knew you were going to say Iowa. I knew it. Yep. If you've driven through Iowa, it is the most boring part of your trip.
I only know it is that's where that field is.
Yep,
so I went a good 5 hours out of the way when I was heading to Chicago just to go to that house that they filmed Field of Dreams at, and they turned it into an Airbnb. And I tell you, they got a bar at the Field of Dreams with buy one, get one free whiskeys for $2.
Oh, you found your home.
Yeah, well, if you're not seeing Ray Liotta walking out of a cornfield by the end of that, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's what, crazy.
Of all the places that you got to see on this ridiculous trip of yours, where is the one place you would want to go back to?
One place I'd want to go back to, let's see. New York was beautiful. You know, once you go to, where is it? It's where they filmed Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Montauk.
Montauk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pricey.
Yeah. The beaches on Montauk. Imagine all the houses on Mercer Island just stretched out on Montauk. That's exactly the same thing. But I set up a projector and I watched Gattaca underneath the stars on Montauk. I think that's probably my number one place I want to go back to.
Okay.
All right, man.
Yeah, that sounds like a cool trip.
It sounds like an awesome trip, man.
Damn.
I knew he was going to say Iowa. And if it wasn't Iowa, it was going to be Ohio. But I'm like, if he drove through Iowa, as a fact, it will be the most boring state you've ever driven through.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, I put Ohio up there, too.
Ohio sucks.
Yeah, it's not much.
I mean,
to
just
see.
If you have to drive through it, man, because the stadies are out, and the only reason you're speeding in Ohio is to get out of Ohio. You know, when they put, why are you driving so fast? Like, because I want to get out of your state, man.
Well, it's just like, I don't know. You drive from, like, you have the Eastern Seaboard with all the major cities.
Sure, that's fine.
Right? And then you kind of get out into, like, the Appalachians, and you're like, all right.
Kind of beautiful, sure.
Right? And then, I don't know, you just get to Ohio, and it's just...
Everything ends.
Right? And, like, people that grow up here on the West Coast think of, like, Ohio as the East Coast. It's not.
No.
It's the Midwest, and it's just car factories and farmland.
Right.
It is awful. I mean, Indiana's not much better, man. We so the Jackson family, right, Michael Jackson, they're from Gary, Indiana. And we're driving to Chicago. And the only thing I know about Gary, Indiana is the Jackson family and what's the play, like the Music Man.
Okay.
Gary, Indiana. Seriously, that's all I know. So I see the sign that says downtown Gary, Indiana, 1 mile. So I look to my right and dude, downtown. So like most cities have some kind of skyline. The skyline is just factories. And all these fire had the flames shooting out of the top. Like, that was downtown. It was like...
You cannot believe...
Nah, man.
Toledo's the same way on Lake Erie. And you'd think anything on a lake would be beautiful.
You would think.
And this place is just... I mean, they messed up a great lake just by putting a city on that stretch.
That particular city. You're right.
Toledo's a pretty sad little town.
It's horrible.
And if you're from Toledo, you know we're speaking the truth. Like, you can't even get up... You can defend it and say the people are nice. I'm sure they are. But the city's a hellhole.
They fought over that, too.
I fought over what?
Like way back in the day. Yeah. Know, it was like the two states were fighting or whatever.
There to claim Toledo?
Oh, yeah.
So the loser had to take them?
People flee Toledo to go to downtown Detroit to live.
Yeah, no kidding.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So I'm going to apologize to Mike because I'm changing my story. I thought it had to be an airline story. But I did want to say I just recently was found out that my ex-wife listens to your guys' show. So in the future, I got to watch my stories now.
Well, how did you find out? Did you say something about her?
But you're already divorced.
Well, and it's been like 9 years, so it's been a long time. But
you call her bitch.
Are you still worried she's going to come over and beat your ass?
Well, no, she has a police boyfriend, or he's retired police. I don't know. I just don't want any issues.
I got you.
All right. Now we're tracking with you.
All right. So this is right before COVID. I went with my travel trailer down to Mount Bachelor with my son and his girlfriend. The first time having my son and a girl on a trip with us. We had a great weekend. And on our way back, it's like a 19-foot travel trailer. I'm a CDL driver, so I've been driving my whole life, basically, and I'm coming down the pass, and I'm almost to the exit at 18, and it's late at night, so there's no cars around, but all of a sudden I see this semi flashing me, and I was like, what is going on? And I look at one mirror where he's flashing me, because there's a trailer behind me I can't see, and I look in the other, and I see that my tire on the trailer is on fire. So I was like, oh, my God, what the hell is going on? So we pull over, and the axle, we had just had it serviced. The axle wasn't greased properly. The bearings inside the axle were melting. It caught the tire on fire. And so we opened the door real quick, and I didn't have my glasses on me, and I've never really used a fire extinguisher. So my other half, she grabs it, and then she ends up putting out the fire. And so that problem solved. But so it's like 11 o'clock at night, so it's late. She takes the dog, the kids, and the car down. It's an SUV, so I loaded as much as I could in the SUV. And then I'm sitting on the side of the freeway on I-90, and just trailers going by, and it shaked the whole thing. It was trippy. I'm just sitting there in the trailer, just like, oh, my God. And so... it was too expensive to get a tow that night. It was going to be like $1,300.
Jesus.
And so we said, forget about it. Because of the height of it, they had to get a certain trailer, blah, blah, blah. That's what they said. It was a Sunday night late. I think they were just trying to get some extra cash. But so I said, screw it. Let's just do it tomorrow. So the next morning, we get the only is $600 to get it towed. We set up the tow. I'm actually... that day going to get a COVID test because I'm getting a colonoscopy in a couple days. So my other half is on the phone with setting up the appointment. And as we're pulling up on the other side of the freeway, I look over where the trailer's supposed to be and the trailer's gone. And I'm like, oh my God, did they get here before us and tow it? And so
I tell her to get off the phone. What the heck is going on? And she gets off the phone, and we find out that, no, they hadn't been there, and our trailer was stolen.
Oh no. So yeah, did they ever find the thing?
A year to the date, almost. We finally found out where it was. We had been reimbursed and stuff, so it took a while. Because of COVID, it was like trying to replace the trailer. It was just a pain in the ass.
Right.
But we got our money back. And, it turns out one of the last places that I called the tow company, it was like a mile from there. And it was right by our house. This was all, we lived in Mill Creek at the time. This was all the way up, it could have gone anywhere. For weeks, I was driving around trying to find this thing, looking at people's houses. And, it was a bunch of meth heads. It turns out they found the trailer. He had stolen a bunch of other trailers. I think that the tow company called their buddy and said, hey, this trailer's up here. You might want to go grab it. It was towed with a tow dolly from U-Haul. They found the tow dolly there. And then they let us go through to try to get stuff. It's a year later. Everything was gone. There was some personal stuff that I wanted that I cared about. Everything else was reimbursed. But there was some stuff from my dad that had passed and other stuff in the car that, or in the trailer that was,
Did they bust the guys who stole it?
Yeah, no, he was caught. He was in jail. So that's how we found out. And at that point, we'd already got all our money back. We did all right.
How far away did they find the trailer from your house?
So, what's that, 60 or about 60 miles? Oh, from my house?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was only 2 miles.
Mm. Damn, man.
Okay.
Well, because we were having it towed nearer to our house. So one of the tow companies I called was in our neighborhood in Mill Creek. And so, yeah. But it's always funny as heck. They had me send pictures of the trailer and all this stuff. It's like, why are you having me send pictures? The tow company.
Yeah. So. Well, those Apple iTags, man, they work. I've got a pocket full of them. I put them in like my golf bag when I'm traveling. If I know I'm going someplace, or if I know something is of importance to me.
Yeah, your golf clubs for sure.
If I go to Tacoma and park my car outside, I take my Apple AirTag and put it in my car.
In the car for sure, man.
Yeah, where I should just put it in my car if I park in Fremont. But for whatever reason, I've got it in my head that it's Tacoma.
Fremont's not very drivable. Not worth stealing a car there.
My buddy did it one of his bikes at Burning Man. People steal them.
Oh, yeah?
We tracked that thing all the way to West Hollywood.
Damn.
And then we had the idea of going down there and just be like, hey,
it's my bike.
Did you go and take it back?
No.
You didn't do the Pee Wee Herman?
I don't think it was in a section of West Hollywood we wanted to go to.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.